We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Tuesday in Brevard County, Florida, and Jesus is on the throne. And I am so very thankful about that. I'm thankful that I'm not God. I'm thankful that you're not God. I'm thankful the politicians in Washington or Tallahassee, you name the place, I'm thankful they're not God. I think God is the right person to be on the throne. And so we're glad that you are listening today. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I've had the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God for 23 years now. In fact, I was driving down the road last week, and I saw a business person that I've known for the entire time that we've been at the church, and we don't cross paths that frequently. They're working, I'm working, and so we don't see each other that much. And so I stopped and I said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm getting promoted this year." And you know, they asked, "You're not leaving Merritt Assembly, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm getting promoted from father to grandfather." And so we're real excited about that. God has been faithful through the years, and we're looking forward to this new adventure that God is bringing our way, and real excited about all that God is doing. This is a busy season for us personally. We've got a lot of family milestone events that are taking place and are looking forward to each and every one of those. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Their phone number here in Brevard County, write this number down. If you get a chance, write it down, put it in your phone. If you have your phone, you can't write it down, just hit the audio record feature there. If you need good, reliable, quality AC or electrical work done at your home or business, give them a call, 632-9538. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, and they travel all throughout the county. So 632-9538, give them a call, and they can keep you cool in the summertime, and that summertime heat, I'm sure, is not far away. So thank you to them. We do want to let you know that we have our vintage service that is coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the morning, and we've been preaching through the book of Isaiah. We're studying through the book of Isaiah. The reason I'm sharing some of the stuff on the radio here from Isaiah is because, as I shared it with our congregation, there were people said, "Pastor, that is so right on with where we are as a country right now, that it really needs to go beyond the four walls of our church." And so that is how this came about. As a result of me being made aware of this, I've also seen through some ministry newsletters and blogs that have come out that other people are sensing that we are in this same time epic or whatever time period. We're going through some of the same things that Israel went through. So today we are going to be in Isaiah, the third chapter. We've been there, and we're going to start with verse number 8 today, and we'll go on reading through probably verse number 12 is probably as much time as we're going to get. Now, tomorrow night, we do have our kids ministry that is going on. We have boys and girls ministry, several different classes for each one. We have a meal that we serve beginning at 6 o'clock. And then at 6:30, we break into our various classes. And those classes go to about 7:45. But I'm telling you, the kids have such a wonderful time that last Wednesday, it was, even though classes got out at 7:45, they hung out and played games, played basketball, all sorts of stuff for nearly another hour after classes got out. They just enjoy being, and in fact, they come early. There was one boy last week, and and his basketball skills had improved, and so he wanted to see how he did before against me. Last time I beat him like 10-1. This time I beat him 10-4. He's got one shot, one spot, but when he's on that spot and he kind of hits a step back jumper from the foul line, and he made four of those, and you know he was all excited about that. But we have a lot of fun with the kids, and that was me in wingtip shoes too. So I don't advise that. It's not good for your feet, and I'm a shoe salesman. I should know that. I was a shoe salesman. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 8, says, For Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Okay, and so this is the prophet Isaiah prophesying what was going on in Jerusalem, what had taken place. It said, for Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen. Doesn't say that they were going to fall. It says that they were fallen. They were in a condition where they were not upright anymore. They were they had lost their position, and they had fallen. And I, like I've said before, I'm in my 50s, and I have discovered that falling in your 50s is a lot more painful than it was when you were a toddler, and it was more painful than when you were a kid. You know, I see some trees that when I was back in Oklahoma that I used to climb as a kid, and I want you to know, not one time did the thought enter my mind to climb that tree, to swing like I was on the high bar, and to jump down. Not one time did that ever enter into my mind, because I realized that the impact of hitting the ground from an elevated height is a lot more painful now. And so it says that where Jerusalem and Judah were once upright and they were seen as the object of God's affection, he says, now you have stumbled, you have fallen, and he says there's a reason that has taken place. You know, I don't like to just deal with the action. I like to deal with the cause. Why did this happen? What was the reason for the fall? What was the cause of it? Because if we can remedy the cause, then we can eliminate any future stumbles. We can eliminate future falls. And so I encourage you, do not just put up ways to deal with it, but instead allow God to deal with the very root of the issue so that that thing does not grow anymore. We had a plant when I first came to Merit Assembly of God. It was in the back of our fellowship hall, and it was a plant you didn't really want to touch. It would burn your eyes if you if you got it on your fingers. And so I went out there one day, and I had all of my protective gear on it, and I chopped it all the way down to the ground. I mean, I got it as low to the ground as I could possibly get it. And 3 months later, it was grown just as full as if it had never been cut down. And we did that a couple of times. And finally I said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of that thing regrowing in my life. And so we chopped it down to a certain degree. We left a little bit of the height to it. We dug all the way around it. We chopped off the lateral roots, and then I brought in a chain. I hooked it to, I had a 1974 duster. We hooked that chain to the back of that duster. We saturated the ground. We had it as moist as possible. And I accelerated with the duster, and I want you to know it started to bend the bumper. And I said, you know what? I need to attach that to a different part of the car. It was stronger, even though I couldn't bend that bumper if I wanted to with my hands. That tree was so deeply entrenched. What we discovered was it had a taproot that went down extensively into the ground. And so even though we had separated everything that was reaching out to the east and the west, the south and the north, we had not taken care of the very deepest root of that particular plant. And so we reattached that. We did some more work, and we finally uprooted that thing. And here's the thing, the reason that I share this with you is because once we got that root out, that plant never grew back again. And there are some issues that people deal with in their life. And a lot of times they try and deal with the superficial, but they have never dealt with the very foundational issues of what caused them to fall in the first place. What is it that caused you to be inclined towards that? And so God says, here's the reason that my people have stumbled. Here's the reason they have fallen. It is because of their tongue, and it's because of their doings that are against the Lord. He says there are two things. They talk against God, and their actions are against God. We quote that verse all the time. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I want to ask you this question. What if you have positioned yourself to where you are opposing and fighting against everything that God believes in? Or not that he just believes in, but against who he is, what he has proclaimed. You see, the Bible describes that apart from Christ, we were at enmity with God. It wasn't that God was our enemy. We had positioned ourselves hostily against him. We had declared war against him. Right now, we see situation in the Middle East where ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Al-Shabaab and all of these terrorist organizations, nobody is taking their declarations of their intent, Iran, nobody's taking their declarations of the things that they say they want to do as serious. I want you to know God takes you at your word because he has elevated his name and his word above all else. When he says something, he means it. And he said, my people are not out there promoting me and promoting my kingdom. They are out there talking and doing things that are contrary to the kingdom of God. He said, and that will result in people stumbling and falling. If you and I get off of the path of righteousness and get on the broad path, it's still a path of destruction. So we need to make sure that our heart and our mouth. Listen, you speak what is in your heart, and your heart results in the actions that you take. And so I encourage you. There's a lot of political bluster that goes on now, and politicians say and do whatever they need to say or do in order to convince you to vote for them, and then they hope that you will forget about it the next time. Well, if anything has been proven of late, it is that what used to take place in that a politician could say one thing when their party was in office, and they could say exactly the opposite when their party wasn't in power. Those days are gone now. If you get up there and say one thing and then later on you take a diametrically opposite position, I'm just going to conclude this. You are a person without principle. And so I want to be a person of principle, just like God is, where my doings and the speech of my lips, they are not against the Lord, but they are promoting God and his kingdom. So he said, the result of this is you provoke the eyes of his glory. That a lot of times people in our society think, well, nobody pays attention to the things that I do. No one pays attention to the things that I say. And so there is no consequence to those actions. I want you to know that God says the things that we say and the things that we do, they are either going to promote his glory or they are going to provoke his glory. And I don't want to insult the glory of God. As we were at our vintage service last Wednesday, I had we were praying, we were worshiping, and I said, God, we often pray like the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of a sudden I realized that heaven is a place that is filled with praise, that the angels never cease in praising and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They are bringing acclaim and glory to his name. And so I want that to be what takes place in my life, that my lips will bring glory. See, the word that we talk about, it's an old term that gets thrown about from now, time to time now, and that is the word blasphemy. Blasphemy. Blasphemy is to speak evil against. It is to use your mouth, and instead of building God up, instead you speak evil against it. And so God says, when you do that, you provoke the eyes of my glory. My glory is not pleased in that. And it goes on to say that there is another manifestation. It's not just the things that they say. It's not just the things that they do, but it is how they acknowledge those actions. Now, when we come home at times, our dog, my daughter's dog, may have misbehaved while we were gone. We've had several dogs through the years, and whenever we would walk through the door, if one of the dogs had misbehaved, they would immediately change their demeanor from being excited to see us, even before we were aware that they had done anything. All of a sudden, their head would bow down, they would tuck their tail, and they would go scurrying off looking for a place to hide because they were ashamed of their behavior while nobody was home to watch. And that is kind of what society used to be like. It used to be that when we did something that was sinful, when we did something that was wrong, that we would be ashamed of it, we would repent of it, we would be sorrowful for it, and we would expect that we would change our behavior so that we would not do those things again. But now we are very much in line with Isaiah chapter 3 here. It says, the look on their countenance witnesses against them. In other words, they are not ashamed of it. They are arrogant about it. They boast of it. Look what I did, and there was no one who could stop me. Look what I did, and I got away with it. I'm telling you that getting caught in doing something wrong is not the worst thing that could ever happen to you. The worst thing is you could get by with it and nobody call you to attention. I am so thankful that God loves me enough to bring correction into my life so that it reflects my countenance. So I want to ask you just a question here to examine your countenance and think of what some of the most beautiful countenance representations you have ever seen. For me, I remember the countenance that my wife had. I remember her countenance from the second day that I saw her. The first day I was moving furniture, I really didn't pay that much attention. But the second day, I saw this glowing personality. And that second day that I met her, her countenance was only surpassed on that day by the countenance that she had on the day of our wedding. It was absolutely glowing, and people see when a beautiful countenance, when a lady is expecting a baby, when things are just going wonderfully in life. But there is another countenance reflection, and that is when we are willfully, deliberately, intentionally sinning or brazenly rebelling against what we were told to do. And then there, instead of a beautiful countenance, there is a steely, stone-faced countenance that says, this is what I did. Now, listen to what God says. And they declare their sin as Sodom. As you see, in Sodom, they were not ashamed of their sin. They were actually boastful of it. And you can read about Sodom. There were a lot of different sins. But there are some people that look at the list of sins in Sodom and they want to minimize the sexual aspect of it. And I want you to know that you can't do that. The scripture says that if you sin sexually, you sin against your own body. And these people in Sodom, they wanted to abuse every person that came into their town. Even if that person was an angel, like it talks about, they wanted to use them for their pleasure. There was gluttony, there was arrogance, there was pride, there was a whole array of sins. But please do not underestimate the fact that there was sexual sin, and we have a plethora of sexual sins that are prevalent in America right now. You can either talk about it being premarital, you can talk about it being extramarital, you can be talking about it being a redefinition of marital, but it all is the same thing. People go around and they declare it. They do not hide it. They do not conceal it. Sometimes people are truly remorseful, and sometimes they are just sad that they got caught. But here is the danger. Here is the danger, and that is this. Here's what God says to people who use their mouth to sin, who use their actions to sin, and have a look that is not a look of repentance, but it's a brazen look of rebellion. He says, woe to their soul. Woe to their soul. It is, sin damages you emotionally. Sin damages you spiritually. Sin damages you relationally. And sin damages you spiritually. There is woe to the soul who brazenly, unrepentantly adopts sin as its death style. Woe to that soul. You see, the soul that sins shall die. That's what the scripture says. That's not what I say. That's what the scripture says. And it will damage you. It will bring separation and death into a wide array of areas in your life. You don't want to do that. You want to have a sensitive, still, small voice that can speak to you and say, you know, that is displeasing in my sight. And we say, Lord, would you please forgive me of that and correct me of that? I knew a person one time, and they had a boss, and their boss had given them a directive. And an underling of that boss came and gave this person a contrary response. And so when the boss came in, they said, okay, now I'm going to help you here. And so they sat down and they said, I understand that person's personality, even though they're under me, that they have a much more outspoken voice than I do. And that probably reminds you of the way that you were raised. And so you responded to it that way. Now, I want you to know that if that's the tool I have to use to get through to you, I can raise my voice if I need to. And the person said, you know, I think I will choose to respond to the still small voice instead of the shout and the scream and the bluster. And so, woe to their soul. And it says this, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Look at that verse. It is in verse number 9, and it says, woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Do you realize that much of what we deal with in our lives is self-inflicted pain? Self-inflicted pain. It's things that we bring upon ourselves. We choose not to do things the way that we are supposed to, and as a result, we end up learning the hard way. We learn the painful way, and as a result of that, we are the ones that are responsible for our own pain and suffering. Much of the time. I'm not saying all of the time. We live in a fallen world. There's plenty of times that people do bad things and we had nothing to do with it. But, you know, there are people who experience accidents that they weren't doing anything wrong. And we just live in a fallen world. But each and every one of us, because we had a fallen nature when we were born, we are responsible for a lot of the pain that we bring upon ourselves. And I don't know about you, but the last time that I accidentally hit myself, I didn't enjoy it. And if I didn't do it if I didn't enjoy it when it was an accident, why would I ever think that I would enjoy it if I inflicted pain on myself intentionally? With that being said, I wasn't going to go this direction, but I do feel like this is the way that we're to close out the broadcast. And that is to deal with our home life. And I want to ask you to take a step back and take a look at it and say, are you inflicting pain on your own marriage or on your own relationship with your kids? Let's stop doing the devil's job for him. That's pretty good. Let's stop doing the devil's job for him. You see, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. Let's quit doing his job and let's start doing the things that God wants us to do, and that is speaking the words of truth and love. Let's start living out the fruit of the Spirit against such things as there is no law. Let's start living the way God wants us to. Let's make the devil's job harder, not easier. God wants our lives to be glorious testimonies of what he can do in a person's life. So that's where we're going to end up today as far as the scriptures go. But if right now you are dealing with the consequences of a stumble or a fall, I want to ask you to just take a trip to the mirror, look at your life and say, okay, what is coming out of my mouth? Is it the words of life? Am I doing the things God told me to do? Am I building the kingdom of God? Am I living for the glory of God, or am I living opposite of that? What is my attitude towards sin? Am I repentant of it, or am I proud of it? If I'm proud of it, I need to change that. God wants you, and I want you to have health in your life, soundness in your life, and let's make sure that we don't bring any more evil upon ourselves. God bless you. You have a great day in Jesus, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.